This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. We continue in Daf HaShavua. Thanks everybody for joining. It's been a bit since we were back to Monday night, but thanks everybody for sticking with us. And we're now learning Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. We're going to be discussing the first Mishnah in the 10th Perek. Namely, the Mishnah said that if a woman was told by one aid that her husband dies and then she remarries and the husband walks in, so now she is usher to the new husband, she's usher to the old husband, and we throw all kinds of chumras on her and all kinds of penalties on her, but she does not bring a carbon because she relied on the bezdin. Masha'in kein, if she relies on edim, so then the halacha would be she does bring a carbon. So now we're going to start from three lines from the bottom. Tzadi Aleph on Beis Amar Rav Ashi, ulakala lechashinan. If there's a rumor, we are not suspicious. Meaning, says Rashi, if she got married in Bezdin and then a rumor went out that her husband's alive and he never showed up, we're not concerned for that rumor. Says Gemara, Hai kala. What kind of rumor are we discussing that we're not concerned about? If we're talking about a rumor after she got married, that after she married a new husband, a rumor went out that her husband's still alive, of course we're not concerned. Ravashi once mentioned such an idea that a rumor after a woman gets married is not concerning. The Amar Ravashi called Kala the Basar Nesu'in like Hashinan. Any rumor after Nesu'in, we are not concerned for. Says the Gemara, Mahu the Tema, I would have said, Hoyal va'asoy lebeidina, since he came to Bezdin, since she came to Bezdin, visharinan, and we allowed her to get married. That means this woman came to Bezdin, asked, what should she do? I haven't seen my husband in a bit. So then it's like, since she needs to come to Bezdin to permit her, so that means we are mesupik, maybe the husband's alive. Otherwise, why do we require the woman to come to Bezdin? So if we have some type of legitimate doubt, maybe the husband's alive, that is like... there's a rumor before she gets married, because we all know that Rav Ashi only dismissed the rumor after she gets married. But if the rumor started swirling before she gets married, then we have to be concerned for it, even if she then gets married. So the fact that we require her to go to Bezdin to get a heter, that should mean the rumors were swirling even before she got married. Kakala de kaminisundami. It should be like a rumor that was before the marriage. Vititzar. And she should be usher. Kamash Malan, they know that this is not considered like a rumor before the marriage. Okay. Nisseis alpi bezdin teitzei. If she got married based on bezdin, and then meaning the bezdin said she could rely on the fact that there's an eid echad, that her husband died, and then the husband walks in, she has to get divorced. Amar ze'iri. Lesa lamasnisen midatani be midrasha. The Mishnah is not in the presence of that which was taught, meaning that which the Mishnah says, that if an eid echad allows her to get married and then the husband walks in, she is teitse mize umize. That is not necessarily unanimously held. Why? Because we learnt in the Beis Medrash a little differently. The Tani Be Midrasha, it was taught in the Beis Medrash, Hayru Bezdin Sheshaka Chama, if Bezdin paskind, the sun set, and Shabbos was over, and Bezdin allowed allowed someone to do Malacha, Olavasoif Zarcha, and then it turned out it was just cloudy, but the sun was shining. Einzu hayra, this is not a psak to rely on. Elatos, it's a mistake. Now, so that teaches us that the discussion at hand is the Mishnah says that if the Beis Din allowed a woman to get remarried and then her husband walked in, the Mishnah says she does not have to bring a carbon. Why not? Because she's relying on the Beis Din. Whenever somebody relies on Beis Din, that exempts you from bringing a carbon. A carbon is brought for a shoygeg, but if you relied on Beis Din, that's sort of like an oinas. So the Mishnah says that when Beis Din gives you a heter, you don't bring a carbon. And yet, we know, from what was taught in the Beis Medrash, that if Beis Din said that the son said, and therefore you could do malacha, and in the end, the sun was shining, that's not a hoira, it's a toss. And since it's a mistake, you would have to bring a carbon. Rashi says this is not a hoira to rely on it and to pater an individual that follows, or a tzibur that follows the psak of the Beis Din. This is not a psak, it's a mistake, and therefore you do not bring a par like any other helam. Everyone rather brings a kisva or a se'ira, because this is not considered a psak, it's just a mistake. They thought the sun set, and it was not true. So if this is a mistake, if not knowing that it's still day is a mistake, then in the Mishnah it's also, it's not a psak, it's a mistake. They thought the husband was alive. Turns out the husband was not alive. The same way, if you think it's night and it's really day, that's an error. So too, if you think someone is dead and they're really alive, that's not a psak. I went to the Rav, and the Rav paskined that the guy is dead. It wasn't a psak. It was based on misinformation. Turns out, the guy was alive. That's not a hoira, that's a toss. And just like regarding whether it's day or night, it's not a hoira, it's a toss. And when there's a toss, you bring a carbon. So too, in our Mishnah, that which was taught in the Beis Medrash would be that you have to bring a carbon. But Rav Nachman Amar hoirahi. Rav Nachman says, no, it's a hoira. It is a hoira. The reliance on the Beis Din that the guy is dead is a psak. It's not a toss. Amar of Nachman teda dahirahu. I'll bring you a proof.
The Isha herself is at fault. It's almost like a zadim. All the penalties that she occurred.
Yeah, correct. There's no question the woman is at fault. That's why we hurl all the penalties on her. We're now talking about the isolated issue of whether she brings a carbon or not. Now, we know there's an exemption for carbon if you're reliant on the Beis Din. So, the Pashup Shot is, she was relying on the Beis Din. Maybe she shouldn't have, maybe she should have done better private investigation, but whenever you're reliant on a Beis Din, you don't bring a carbon. But if it's not called Beis Din, it's called misinformation, then you would bring a carbon, because the same way if Beis Din, right, there's a gzeres hakasa, when you rely on Beis Din, you don't bring a carbon. Rashi on the Mishnah brought the din. Rashi said, Yachid sha'asa b'hayra'as Beis Din is patar. But now the question is that really a hayra? Is that really a hayra? The case could be made, that's not a psak. Not a psak that a guy's dead. It's misinformation that the guy's dead. Rav Nachman says, I'll prove to you it's a hayra. Why? The b'chala Torah kula, eid echad loy mehemen. In the whole Torah, one eid is not believed. V'hacha mehemen. And here, the one eid is believed. Why is that? It's not because we're relying on the eid, because we don't rely on one eid. It must be, ma'itan lav mishum hayrahi. It's not that we rely on the aid, it's because it's a psak. And she's relying on the psak of the Beis Din, not the witness. B'chol tarakul, aid echad is not believed. Why do we believe the aid over here? The answer is, it's not that we're relying on the aid, it's that under the circumstances, Beis Din is allowed to issue a ruling based on the evidence in this situation that she could remarry. But it's not Taos, it's the psak of the Beis Din. Otherwise, if it's a mistake because it's relying on the aid, but we know an aid is not believed. Amar Rava, Rava said, Teida de Taosu, I'll bring you a proof that it's a mistake. This is not an aid echad, it's a mistake. Why? De'ilu hayru Beis Din b'chelav uvedam lahatera. If Beis Din paskened about forbidden fats or blood that they're mutter, Beis Din paskened that these fats or this blood is permitted. V'hadar chazu taimel isura. And then it seemed to them that it's prohibited. So they retracted and they said, you know what? Dvarim shehitarti lochem asurahi. And they feel it's asur. Ki hadri va'amri lehatera. If they then go back and say, you know, we think it's mutter, la'imishkachinan lehu. We don't pay attention to them. If they say, you know what? Now the original reason that we thought of that it should be mutter is more apparent to us. We're not going to listen to the Beis Din, because they already retracted and they felt it was usur. They cannot go back and say, you know what, we thought about it again and really it should be mutter. V'ilu heichad da'asa eid echad sharina. And yet in our case, where an eid echad said, you know, your husband died, asu trei and two eidim came in, asarna. When one aid comes and says your husband died, we permit the woman to get married. Another two aidim come and say, you know what, the aid doesn't know what he's talking about, your husband's alive, so now we say she's asur. Let's say an aid walks in, ki hadar asa aid achrina, when another aid walks in and says, you know, this time we know your husband died, sharinala, we do matter it. Think about it. When Beis Din says chelev is mutter, and then they say it's asur, they can come back and say it's mutter. And yet by an eid echad that says your husband's dead, we allow her to get married. And two eidim say, no, your husband's alive. And we say, no, you weren't allowed to get married. If another eid comes and says, you know, Taka, your husband now died, we let her get married. Why do we do that? We don't allow that by Beis Din. Why do we allow that in this case? The answer is because this is a toss. It is not, we're not dealing with hayra, we're dealing with toss. My timer, lav mishum de tosu. It's because it's a mistake.
That's not what happened. That's a bit of a sleight of hand. The case is not that two aidim came in after one aid. The case is that the husband himself came in. Beis Din didn't retract. The sea has changed.
True. But we're not discussing that the case of the Mishnah per se. We're discussing a general case. Let's say a case where an aid echad said your husband died, two aidim then said he didn't die, and then another aid comes and said, you know what, we just found out your husband died. Do we say, no, the two aidim already, we already closed that case, we can't revisit it, we can't allow you to get married based on a new aid? The answer is, another aid came and said, now your husband's died, we could rely on that. Why is that? Because it's a mistake. We're dealing with an error of reality. Like you said, we're dealing with metzias. We're not dealing with psak.
Can you apply a case where Beis Din changes its decision and then apply that to a case where Beis Din didn't change its decision? They're not analogous.
You're saying this is not a case where Beis Din made a decision and then changed? Here, the case at hand that we're trying to analyze is when Beis Din allows a woman to get married based on the testimony of one witness, and then the guy ends up coming in. How do we view that? Do we view it that the woman is relying on a psak, or do we view it that the woman is relying on an eid echad? If we review it that she's relying on an eid echad, that's called she's relying on faulty information. When somebody relies on faulty information, you bring a carbon. If we view it that she's relying on a psak, then someone who relies on a psak does not bring a carbon. So the question is, the Eid Echad came in, so that's faulty information. But the Bezdin gave a heter to rely on it, so that's a psak. So the question is, in summation, how do we view Bezdin sort of ratifying the testimony of one aid? Do we view that as psak halacha, or do we view that as, it's not a psak, we're relying on faulty information? How do we view Bezdin's heter based on an Eid Echad? Is that faulty information, and therefore you would bring a carbon, or is that a psak, and therefore you would not bring a carbon? We're trying to prove that it's not a psak, because if it were a psak, then Bezdin could not go back and forth and back and forth. The fact that Bezdin could go back and forth and back and forth, even though by psakim you cannot, that indicates that it's just reliant, it's just new evidence has come up. But
in
okay, but question. When the woman got married, here's the point. When the woman got married, is she relying on Bezdin or is she relying on an aid?
Bezdin.
So the Gemara says, no, that can't be that she relied on the Bezdin. Because if what she was relying on is purely the Bezdin, then when one aide comes and says that she could get married, and then two aides squelch it, then we would never be able to reopen the case when another aide comes in and says your husband died. Because the rule is that once Bezdin does not reopen Psakim. So it has to be that when she's getting married, she's not relying on the Bezdin, she's relying on the aid. Because you could change... Okay, maybe we'll explain it.
I understand now. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the Gemara says, I'll bring you a proof, it's a mistake, meaning we're relying on the aid. The ilu hayru bezdin bechelev uvedam lehetera vahadar chazu taimel yisura ki haji v'amri lehetera lo yimashkechina lo. The ilu heicha da'asa aid echad. But when an Eid Echad comes, Sharina Asu Treya Sarna, Ki Hadar Asa Eid Achrina Sharina Lai, My Time La Misham De Tasu. Says Gemara, V'af Rabbi Eliezer Savar De Tasu. Rabbi Eliezer also holds it's a mistake. We're relying on the aid, we're not relying on the Bezdin. Why? The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer says that when somebody relies on an aid, and then it turns out the husband is alive, Yikoiv hadin es hahar. Let the halacha pierce the mountain. Let the halacha sort of pierce the corporate veil, and let her bring a chatas, v'tavi chatas shmeina, and she should bring a carbon chatas. So basically, even though Bezdin is giving an allowance to rely on the Eid Echad, the halacha is, we say, let the din pierce the mountain, and she should bring a carbon chatas. Now, if we're going to say that it was a mistake, it was a mistaken information of the Eid Echad, and therefore she should bring a carbon chatas, mishum hachi masya carbon, that's why she brings a carbon, because she wasn't relying on the Bezdin. Yes, the Bezdin was the one who told her to get married, but let's go deeper than that. What is this psak based on? Is it really a psak, or is it just sort of a superficial psak? But behind the superficial psak is the testimony of one witness, and that indicates that this is not a hayra, but rather this is the evidence of one witness, and that's why she brings a carbon chatas. Eli amr to hayrahi, but if it's a real psak, why would she bring a carbon, a my master carbon? Says the Gemara, well, there might be a simple reason for this. Maybe Rabbi Elazar holds like the unique position that somebody who relies on a hayra is chayiv to bring a carbon. There is such a position that when you rely on bezdin, you have to bring a chatas. So don't try to prove, the fact that you bring a carbon chatas indicates that it's really a reliance on the eidecha, it's not a reliance on the psak, because maybe Rabbi Elazar holds like the opinion that when you rely on a psak, you have to bring a carbon. Says, well, that can't be. Because if he held that when you rely on a psak, you bring a carbon, why did he have to say, okay, let's pierce the corporate veil and get beyond the psak and see the real reason why the woman's allowed to get remarried? What do you mean the real? It doesn't matter why. He holds that when you rely on the bezin, you bring a carbon. Apparently, that's not the reason why Rebbe Elazar is saying you're chayiv a carbon. Rebbe Elazar is saying you're chayiv a carbon because we want to pierce the psak and see what's behind the psak. And what's behind the psak is the testimony of the Eid Echad. So basically what the Gemara is getting at is when we allow the woman to remarry, do we view it that, look, we don't know why we allow the woman to remarry. We don't even know, the woman doesn't know why she's allowed to remarry. She's just listening to the court. The court tells her to remarry. And if that's the case, she would be exempt from the carbon. Or is the psak that she's relying on the Eid Echad, she just needs to go through the formality of that the Bezin tells her, okay, it's a good Eid, so go follow the Eid Echad. That's the Shaila over here. It's actually quite a nuanced difference between the two possibilities of whether it's a Hayra or it is a Taos, but we read the words, and I think we have some level of understanding. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Hayru bezin li nasa. Bezin paskind to... Now, this is talking about when bezin allowed the woman to remarry based on the testimony of one aid. The Mishnah says that we only allow her... So we say she's exempt from a carbon because she's relying on the bezdin. However, if she was niskalkel, she went and acted corrupt, she has to bring a carbon, because then she wasn't relying on the bezdin. Bezdin allowed her to remarry. Bezdin never allowed her to go and be loose. So if she went and she was loose, that's not called relying on the bezdin. And therefore, she would have to bring a carbon. So Gemara wants to sort of define, what does it mean she was loose? My kilkala. Reb Lezer Omer zinsa. She was mezana. She had relations not in the context of marriage. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, kilkala means she married someone she wasn't allowed to marry. Alman el kain gadol. Let's say she's an alman and she married a high priest. Grusha v'chalutz el kain hedyot. So manda Amar zinsa. The manda Amar that says that it's considered acting corrupt, just being promiscuous. Koshiken aman lekayin gadol. Certainly, if she married someone who she is chayve lavin to. Man da amar aman lekayin gadol, the one that holds kilkala means she violated a lav, avos in soloi, but not if she acted loose. Why? Why is in soloi? My taima. Da amra, she's going to say, atan hu deshavitan pnuya, you made me a single woman. So you made me a single woman. I'm single, so I'm not bound. Until now, I was married, so I could not have relations with any other man. Now I'm single. You might not like how I'm using my singleness-hood, but that's your problem that you don't like it. You made me single, and now I'm going to take advantage of my singleness-hood. You know that word, singleness-hood. But the other man, the Amar, holds, no, that's also considered kilkala. Now, Tanya Kvasei de Rabbi Yochanan, we learned in the Brayis in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan, namely, Rabbi Yochanan says, only almana l'kayin gadol, grusha v'chalitza l'kayin hedyot, but not a pnuya. Pnuya, she would not bring a carbon. Says, what does the Braisa say? Hairua bezin l'hinase, if bezin allowed her to get married, v'halcha, and she went, v'kilkala, and she acted corrupt, k'gayin alman l'kayin gadol, grusha v'chalitza l'kayin hedyot, chayeves b'karben. So here the Braisa says explicitly the definition of kilkala is when she married in the context of chayve lavin, but not not that she was loose. Now the Gemara quotes the end of the Braisa. The question is, if she, as an Amana L'Kohen Gadol, is she Chayiv a carbon for every Bia? So the Tanakhama says, Chayiv is the carbon, I'll call Bia u'Bia, Divri Rebbe Lazar. The Chachamim, the sages say, carbon Echad Alakal. She only forgot one time that she's allowed to get married based on the permission of the Beis Din, so she only has to bring one carbon. Umaydim chacham, the chachamim agree, the Rebbe Lazar, shem nisseis, the chamish b'nei adam, she married five people, and to each one she's chayv elavin, shechayavis b'carbon al kalech v'echad, that she's chayv for a carbon for each one, hal v'gufin mechulakin, since they are separate entities. Okay, so now we're going to learn a little bit of a twist in the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah spoke about where an aide came and said, your husband died. Now, what happens if the husband died and they had one child, and the aidim say that not only did the husband die, but the child died. Now, if the husband died first and then the child died, then this woman is not zakuk libam because the husband died with the child, and only then the child died. But if the child died first, and then the husband died, so then she would be zakuk libam because the husband died childless. So it all depends on when the child died. If the child died before the husband, she is zakuk libam. If the child died after the husband, she's mutaras l'shak. Says the Mishnah, ha'isha shahalach bala u'bina l'bedina sam, a woman that her husband and her son went overseas, ubo v'amrullah, they came and they said to her, meis ba'alich, your husband died, v'achar kach meis b'nech, then your son died. So basically, you're free to marry l'shuk, v'niseis, she got married, v'achar kach amrullah, and then they came and they said to her, other edim came and said, chiluf hayu advarim, just the opposite. First, your child died, then your husband died, so you are zakuk liyibum, and you married Yavama Lashuk, Yavama married Lashuk, which is Chayve Lavin, and the Gemara is going to say this is in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Chayve Lavin Kedushin is not Taifis. By the way, regards from Rabbi Akiva and Tavaria, he sends his best. So the Gemara is going to say this goes according to Shita of Rabbi Akiva, says the Mishnah, Tate say she has to get divorced from her new husband. V'havlad rishoin v'achroin mamzer. And her first and second child is a mamzer. The Gemara will explain what that means. Her first and second child is a mamzer. Presumably that means the child she had before she found out she wasn't allowed to marry Lashuk, the child she had after she found out she's not allowed to marry Lashuk, they're both mamzerim. Amrula, if they said to her, meis b'nech, your son died, v'achar kach meis balich, and therefore you're zakuk liyibum. V'nesyabma, and she did yibum, lo'yalenu, she lived with an eish esach, and it turned out she wasn't allowed to live with the eish esach, because really, her husband died, and then her son died. V'achar kach amrula, chilav hayu advarim. So Tate says she has to get divorced. V'havlad rishon v'achar mamzer, the vlad before she found out that she was not zakuk liyibum, and after she found out, they're both mamzerim. This doesn't have to be according to Rabbi Akiva, because she's marrying her, she's marrying the brother of her, she's marrying her husband's brother. Amrullah, they said to her, meis ba'alich, your husband died. V'nisseis, and she got married. Amrullah, sorry, just joking, kayam. Another two adam came and said, your husband's alive. Umeis, the only thing is, when you married the new husband, your husband was alive. Taka, now he died. When he found out that you got married to some guy, then he died. He couldn't believe he had a heart attack. So in other words, two Adim came and said, your husband died. So she got married. Then two Adim came and said, no, your husband actually was alive when you remarried, but then he died. So she has to get divorced. The first Vlad is a mamzer, meaning the Vlad that she had while her husband was alive is a mamzer. V'achrin ain't a mamzer, the child she had after the husband died is not a mamzer. Amrula, they said to her, Meis Baalech, your husband died. Viniskatshan, she just did Kiddushin to someone. V'achakach ba Baala, and then the husband walked in. Mutaras Lachsula, she could go back to him. And even if the second guy gave a get, Afal Pishinasan La Achron get, even though the second guy gave a get, Loi Paslam in a Kahuna, does not ruin her from Kahuna. Why? Because she doesn't need a get from the person who did she did Kedushin to. It's completely ineffective. As Zu Darsh Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, about such a case, Rabbi Elazar ben Masya darshened, V'isha Grusha Me'isha, a woman divorced from her husband is Asur to Kahuna, V'loi Me'isha in Isha. But a woman who's divorced from someone who's not her husband, namely this guy who was never really married to her, would not Asur her to her husband. Now, Mai Rishon u'Mai Achron, in case one of the Mishnah, in case two of the Mishnah, what does it mean the first child and the second child is a mamzer? It doesn't really make any difference at all whether she lived with the guy before she found out her husband was alive. In other words, in the case one and case two, in case one, she violated Yevama Lashuk, but it turned out that she thought that she's Mutaras Lashuk. Turned out her husband's, the son died and then the husband died. So she was Asur Lashuk. She was Zakuk Liyibam. But what difference does it make if it's the child that she had before she knew she was Zakuk or after? Or in the second case, what difference does it make whether it's before she knew she married Eish Zach or after? I should just say the Vlad Zamamzer. Says Gemara, Ilei Ma Rishon Lefnei Shmua. If Rishon is before she heard, Achron La'achar Shmua. Listen, you have Vlad Mamzer. Just say the child's a Mamzer. There is no difference whether she produced a child before she found out or not. In the first case, we're going like Rabbi Akiva, that Chayve Lavin produced Mamzerim. So whether she knew it was Chayve Lavin or not, or in the second case, whether she knew it was Eish Esach or not, the Vlad's a Mamzer. So just say the Vlad's a Mamzer. Says the Gemara, we say it Agav the third case, because in the third case, we're they told her husband died and she got married. And turns out the husband was alive and afterwards he died. So the child she had before the husband died is a mamzer. The child she had after the husband died is not. So Agav, the third case where it makes a difference between Rishon and Achron, it says in case one and case two also, Rishon v'Achron. Says the Gemara, Mishim dekabai l'misni seifa, amrula. They said to her, Meis ba'aleich, your husband died, v'nisseis, and she got married. And then they said, your husband's alive. She was alive. Umeis, and then he died. Harishon mamzer, the first one's a mamzer. V'achron ain't a mamzer, the last one's not a mamzer. So taninami resha, rishon v'achron mamzer. Two more lines. The first case of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, who would say, Kedushin is not toifes by chai v'lavin. Aval chachomim oimrim. The sages say, Ein mamzer miyavama. The sages say, no, there's no mamzer from Yevama Lashuk. This is only opinion Rabbi Akiva. The rabbis would disagree. Now the Chachamim formulated their opinion in an interesting way. They said, Ein mamzer miyavama. Why don't they just say, Ein mamzer mechai ve'lavin? V'lema in mamzer mechai ve'lavin. The answer is, they hold there is a mamzer mechai ve'lavin. Hay tana hach tana de Reb Kiva. This chachomim is a version of Rabbi Kiva who holds yesh chai ve'lavin from the Vlad is a mamzer mechai ve'lavin, but only chai ve'lavin of erva, of relations of korva, like anusas aviv or a chalutza, but of a yavama, which is not korva, the chachamim say ein mamzer mi yavama. Right? So Gemara asks, "V'leim ein mamzer chavi lavin?" Hai tana, this tana that argues on the first version of Rabbi Kiva is a different version of Rabbi Kiva. This tana that formulated his opinion ein mamzer mi yavama. Ein mamzer mechai ve'lavin, hai tana hach tana de Rabbi Kiva hu, da amar mechai ve'lavin de she'er have a mamzer, mechai ve'lavin greida, lai hava mamzer. And therefore he said, ein mamzer miyavama. Okay, everyone, welcome back. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We'll try to do Tzadi Beis on Beis tomorrow night. Wishing everyone a beautiful evening. Bracha v'atzlacha. And see you again soon. Kol tov. Thank you for coming. Kol tov. Good night. Good night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.